This is Morning Air.
This is about educating a people that for 40 years haven't been given the full truth. It's time now to speak the truth.
When you do things to the best of your ability, keeping Jesus number one and doing everything you possibly can for His glory, that's a winner.
You are called to make the light of Christ shine brightly in the world.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
Good morning and welcome to this hour of Morning Air here on Relevant Radio. It's Glenn in for John today. John busy helping Santa for a few days this week, I think. I'm not sure exactly what he's up to, but we'll try and keep things between the lines for you. Coming up this hour, as we continue to talk our way through the last week of Advent, we'll talk about the idea of protecting Christ during Christmas time with Father Jeremy Plouffe. Before the hour is through, as Paul Harvey says, you'll get to hear the rest of the story with our story corner. And then we want to get things started out now with our regular guest, Martha Fernandez Sardina. And she's talking about what we really want for Christmas is love.
Make my wish come true.
Hey, I'm a fan of Christmas music, so we're just letting this roll a little bit here. Martha, good morning and great to have you along Morning Air today.
Good morning. Great to be with you.
Happy last week of Advent, just a few days before Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. Are you ready yet?
I am. I am getting there. I'm readying my heart for Jesus because all I want for Christmas is you, Lord, is what I'm saying to him in prayer. And all I want for every single one of us is the Lord. And that I'm also saying in prayer.
Boy, and it seems sometimes like we need to really unwrap a lot of gift wrap to get down to what we really want there is the Lord, right? We're so distracted by so many other even good things, let alone extraneous things this time of year. Any tips on really refining our focus a little bit and remembering even that's what we really want for Christmas?
Well, I think that the Advent season, which is a time of preparation for Christmas, is oftentimes misused or underused or underestimated in terms of situating ourselves into the mystery of what's about to happen and to have placed ourselves on the journey with Mary and Joseph and, of course, the baby Jesus to Bethlehem. And right now we have 4 days left. So we can cram like we used to do in college, right? Right before midterms or finals. We can do as best we can the preparation that we need to have on our minds and in our hearts what we want for Christmas. And not just what we want for Christmas or ought to want for Christmas, but what Jesus wants for Christmas, which is why I like that song, because Jesus could be singing that to each one of us as well. All I want for Christmas is you. So in the midst, Glenn, of all the things that we're facing in the world, in our own world, in our own lives and minds, I have on my mind the state of affairs, so much of a trying year for so many of us, and what looks like might be another very trying year again for us. We can enter into the mystery of what Jesus and Joseph and Mary went through, which was a very trying year when she had this angel show up, which is a blessing. But then Joseph doesn't know quite yet. And then, of course, he finds out also through the angel in a dream. But she has that journey to visit Elizabeth. And then they have this journey to go to Jerusalem for the census. And it's a long journey. And then they don't find a place in the inn. So it was a trying year. And then, of course, after Jesus is born, at some point, they have to go to Egypt, flee for his life. So it was another trying year or two or however long they were there. And so we see, Glenn, that there are a lot of things that are on our minds, on our hearts, on our plates right now. And if we are able, with all that's going on, the losses we've had of loved ones, the losses of relationships, the loss of closeness, the loss of financial means, of jobs, of health, of wealth, if in the midst of all that, we can place ourselves with Jesus, Mary, and Joseph in the mystery of love incarnate, I think we're going to have, no matter what, a terrific Christmas.
That challenging year that we've had, that challenging year, of course, the Holy Family had leading up to the birth of Christ, had an interesting conversation the other day about Mary realizing that she was carrying the fulfillment of all of these years of prophecy right there, that she was the one, as maybe many of the very studious young Jewish girls had hoped they might be the one to carry the Christ, and there she was doing that. Can we take some heart in knowing that she knew she was doing something so important that helped power through the relatively, you know, in comparison, minor physical difficulties around her? Can we focus enough on the work of Christ to power through some of those difficulties we face?
Yes, and we know, because we have been this has been revealed to us through the ages, through the church, and we could just intuit it actually. Yeah, if we didn't have it already revealed through church fathers and popes and saints and so forth, even private revelations that mystics and saints and others have received. But we can intuit that Mary was, because she was a chosen vessel of God, she would have been prepared, like ready at any time for anything. And that's why, with a prayerful heart, she was able to give her yes, her fiat, to the angel, in other words, directly to God through the angel. And even though she wasn't expecting that, and perhaps she had in her mind other dreams of what her life might be like, she was ready because she had entered into the mystery of the love of God, of what God really wants for us, which was Christmas, which was to give us the Messiah and to give birth to the Messiah, to enflesh the Messiah from her own virginal flesh and give birth to the Messiah through her virgin birth, or his birth from the virgin. And so even we who may not have this Christmas, any number of us may not be about to celebrate Christmas in a way that we expected. I know that there are, for a fact, thousands of people who are going to be celebrating Christmas alone. They're not going to be with their family members. They're not going to be with their loved ones. Some people are sick. They're at home in quarantine. Some people are in hospitals. Some people are simply alienated or separated from their family for a number of reasons, related or not, to the medical emergencies and crises that we're facing. And so no matter what your circumstances are, whether you're going to have a very small, a very little Christmas, whether you're going to be by yourself or very few people, if something unexpected has come your way, like it came to Mary and to Joseph, whose dreams or plans may have also been altered, you and I can still enter into the mystery of a beautiful, beautiful little Christmas with Jesus, Joseph, and Mary. So none of us, and that's one thing that I wanted to share today as we look at what we want for Christmas. Even if we are alone, you're not alone. Even if you have losses, you have gains, because Christ has enfleshed himself. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. And this Christmas, every single one of us can see his glory again. As we approach the Lord in the sacrament of confession, and especially, Glenn, as we approach the Lord in the sacrament of the Eucharist and receive on our tongue what Mary received in her arms when she gave birth to the Messiah.
Amen to that. As we started with the Mariah Carey tune, All I Want for Christmas Is You, realizing that our Lord wants us for Christmas. Wow. We're talking with Martha Fernandez Sardina, international speaker, teacher, trainer, writer, a developer and founder of RememberYourLove.com, host of the Remember You Are Loved TV series. Martha, I have in the studio with me my collected One Piece at a Time Through Church as a Little Kid, beautiful little nativity set, and I can look at that. And such a great reminder for us, not only of what happened some 2,000 years ago, but to be able to place ourselves in there, you know, which piece of that nativity set might we be in any particular given year and looking this year during a challenging year or any year throughout history, right? There's a different set of characters that might be around at Christmas time. When the kids are little, they would take and kind of talk the characters in the nativity set, which was great to see and see what they had learned or not. And then a few other characters were added, some more contemporary figures, you know, perhaps a dinosaur or a hockey player, but all coming to pay homage to our Lord there. But how can we, again, realize in the midst of what might be a challenging Christmas that the Lord came for us and he wants us and our hearts for Christmas for him?
This past weekend, I went to a live nativity, a presentation, and it had children, and it had a horse, and it had, what else did it have? It had some goats and some baby kids who were just a few days old. After the play and everything, and this is outdoors, there was some hay. So I brought some hay home, and I'm going to put it probably, I don't have wood or anything that would look like a manger. I might just put it in a shoebox or something. And I just want to ponder, like you were saying, not just the Lord himself, but the characters and the people around them, including the animals, and to think about how we can relate to all that was going on, including the shepherds who heard this amazing announcement, who saw and heard angels speaking of the glorious event that had just taken place, not only for them, but for you and for me and for every single human being that has ever existed before Christ's coming to earth and since his coming to earth until the end of time. And again, no matter how difficult our situation might be, we can draw from the manger, from the Christ child, from the birth of Christ, from his presence in our midst, from his presence in the Eucharist, from his presence in our hearts. We can draw from the love of God that has become incarnate, tangible. We can draw life, that light, that love that has come into the world wants to come into us. So what to do or how to do it, Glenn? Prayer, the sacraments, quiet, solitude, music, Christmas music that speaks of the glory of the Lord, that can elevate our hearts, that can wash our tears away, or with whom, or songs and music that can lead us to realize that even amidst our tears, even in our loneliness, even in our losses, the Lord is present because he is God with us, Emmanuel.
Martha, my wife's in radio too, and we both sometimes joke, radio kind of the lowest rung on the showbiz ladder here in terms of humility in a business and in a world really that doesn't seem to promote humility as much as maybe God would like sometimes. But when we think that he announced the best news ever to the lowly shepherds who are on the bottom rung of maybe the societal hierarchy at the time, what can we learn about the joy we can get from, you know, putting ourselves behind that pile of presents and maybe experiencing a little more humility this season?
Precisely. That's one of the things I'm praying for the most this year, because I think we get so wrapped up in wrapping presents and receiving presents and giving presents that we forget the presence of the Lord in humility. He became so little, so small, so vulnerable, so human, fully human like us. And for us to lower ourselves, he who lowered himself to us, we should also lower ourselves and also remember that those who were smallest and the most insignificant, the shepherds, were the first ones to hear the announcement. And so this is a great virtue for us. And it doesn't take much to be humiliated by others, but for us to humiliate ourselves before the Lord, to become small, is a great thing.
Martha, folks getting inspired by their nativity sets. One of those is Kathy in Savage, Minnesota, giving us a call this morning at 888-914-9149. And Kathy, your kids got the joy of a touchable nativity scene. Tell us a little bit about that. You're on the air with us this morning. Kathy, go right ahead.
When my son was about 3 or 4 years old, I got them, and the nativity scene was made of like a rubber composite or something. And anyway, he was sitting there playing with it, and all of a sudden I heard, "And here is G.I. Joseph." And it made me smile. Because
that is funny.
I met him right where he was at.
Oh, exactly. And thank you so much for sharing that, Kathy. And I think having, it's great to have beautiful and fancy nativity sets, but if there are some that you don't mind the little ones interacting with, and there are toy versions as well made specifically for those little fingers as well, but to get a peek into what those little tiny Christmas minds are thinking about, that can be great. And I think even without little kids in the house right now, still in a couple nativity sets. So one has some little dinosaurs and a hockey player peering over the edge of the manger, and another larger one has a few beanie babies that have been added as well. And and so one mm-hmm. and all come and adore the Lord. A couple more minutes left here, Martha. And what is, we're kind of coming in, you know, to the final few days here. Do we need to try and make Christmas something, or do we need to kind of maybe experience Christmas a little more?
I think what we need to do, Glenn, is make room. Make room for Jesus. Give room to Jesus, Mary and Joseph, in our hearts, in our minds, in our souls, in our homes, in our plans, in the new year, calendar new year that's about to begin, and in this liturgical year that has begun with Advent. So we're almost a month into this new year, and the question is, what is my new year, my liturgical year, my religious year, my spiritual year resolution? This is a great time when Christmas begins to make full use of the 12 days of Christmas, to make room for Jesus, to say to him, be my guest. And not only my guest, be the owner of the house, be the ruler of my life, be the one who has the first and the last say. Bring your love, bring your life, bring your light into my life, Lord, and be you the king of my life. And if that means making room means taking things out, then so be it. Take out what is unnecessary. Take out what is taking up space and not allowing the Lord to be the Lord of your life. Take out resentments. Take out bad feelings. Take out the things that are not allowing you to be a love messenger to others. Don't hold on to resentments. Don't hold on as the year ends, the calendar year ends, and the liturgical year continues on. Do not hold on to things that will make it more difficult for Jesus to find a place in your heart. Adore the newborn King this Christmas season. Kneel before him. Surrender your life to him fully. Ask for more love, for more power, for more of God in your life. Make sure that you clean house, that you take out all the stuff that doesn't belong there. And for those who are feeling depressed, for those who are feeling very lonely, for those who are feeling despondent, be of good cheer, even amidst the tears. God is with us. Emmanuel is with us. We are not alone. You are not alone. The Lord is at your side, and he wants to be your guest and wants to be the king of your heart. So even amidst the tears and the losses, like I said, make room for him and imagine what Mary went through, and allow her also to console you right there from heaven, where she sits at the right hand of the King of Kings as the Queen Mother.
Ah, I love those powerful images. Martha, I love the idea too of making some New Year's resolutions, some spiritual resolutions here during the Advent season, and not waiting till the afternoon on the first when, oh yeah, I promised when the party was over I'd, you know, start being perfect in terms of eating and health and exercise and all of that, but having spiritual resolutions part of the mix and thinking about them now as we contemplate what's going on here as we approach Christmas as well. It's such a beautiful time. And as we move forward here, we want to give folks a chance to make contact with you. We're not all the way out of COVID yet, but we know you like to get around and inspire others in person. And Lord willing, that can happen a lot here in the coming year. If folks could get a hold of you, how can they do that?
I do. I like to speak, but the Lord has given me that as a ministry and as a gift, and I do so in English and in Spanish on a variety of topics to all age groups. Actually, I've spoken to children, youth, and adults, young adults, everyone, parish missions, conferences, whatever. You can reach me at marthafernandezsardina.com and send me an email, or you can also go to rememberyouareloved.com, which will direct you currently to my Facebook page, and you can find there links to my 12-part series, television series on love, and a number of other things that I post there on a regular basis. And it's a great time to be talking about love because it's becoming more and more challenging to love these days. And for many, many of us, it's becoming more and more challenging to receive the love that we need, the love that we long for, the love that nourishes us and that nurtures us. And so this is a time for us to be praying for the love of God to fill our hearts directly in prayer and through the people that we can reach out to and not feel dejected and despised and ignored, even if that might be the case. So don't give up. Make the Lord of love, celebrate, sing, dance, and above all things, pray. And as my Christmas resolution, I'm going to begin praying more often the 20 mysteries of the Holy Rosary and not just 5 mysteries a day. I'm going to incrementally go to 10, 15, maybe I'll be doing 20 every day next year. We'll see.
Oh, you inspire us so much. We appreciate you bringing the love each and every week here to Morning Air. Martha Fernandez-Sardina, thank you so much for your time. Blessed New Year and a very happy and Merry Christmas to you and yours.
Thank you, Glenn. And remember, you are loved. Feliz Navidad.
Morning Air continues up around the corner. We'll talk about protecting Christ during Christmas time. Father Jeremy Plouffe joins us and another Christmas time story corner all on the way as Morning Air continues on Relevant Radio and on the Relevant Radio app. Getting you ready for a joyous Christmas here. It's Morning Air on Relevant Radio. Glenn in for John. He's off busy being Santa's helper this week. Still to come this half hour, our story corner on the way. Patrick Madrid coming up at the top of the hour after the news as well. But now talking about something that Joseph, who we've been focusing on over the past year, did so well, and that was protecting Christ. Going to talk about how to protect Christ over Christmas and more in this day and age. Joining us now is a priest of the Diocese of St. Cloud, Minnesota, and you might have heard him on and off through the years as a guest priest on The Inner Life, heard with Josh Raymond now at 11 a.m. Central Time every day here on Relevant Radio. Father Jeremy Plouffe joins us this morning. Father Plouffe, great to have you along.
Good to be with you, Glenn. And I got to say, it's fun on this early morning since today's O Antiphon, those final countdowns to Christmas. Today's O Antiphon is O Rising Sun or O Morning Star. And what a great thing to talk about the first thing in the morning.
Ah, yes, those crisp, clear Minnesota winter mornings can be beautiful if you have the eyes to see and the clothes to keep you warm as well. We appreciate you taking time to be with us. How are things going here? It can't be any busier for a human almost than a priest this time of year. Are the stockings all hung by the chimney with care and you're ready to go just a few short days from now?
I think so. You know, after this past Sunday, the fourth Sunday of Advent, all the parishes were putting up all of their Christmas decorations and last second this and make sure the schedule's right for that. And then, of course, right after that here in Minnesota, snow on snow on snow. And so we're desperately trying to dig out our driveways right now as Christmas is just seems like hours away now.
Well, you work in a rural cluster of parishes, actually. Give folks a little snapshot of how big and how wide and how broad your responsibilities are. How many different churches are you responsible for there?
Well, thanks for asking. Yeah, so I actually am pastor of 3 separate parishes, and the fortunate thing about that is on the map, these 3 parishes are in a triangle, so I'm never all that far from any of the other ones, but the problem is each leg of that triangle is a solid half-hour drive, about 20 miles or so between each parish. And so, you know, as you're driving to one parish, you know, I'm acutely aware that I'm driving 20 miles away from one of my other parishes, and can really cause challenges, especially when there's inclement weather.
Ah, well, we want to keep you in prayer and all who are doing similar work and realize that life doesn't seem to get easier in 2021 for a priest and trying to cover everything that needs to be covered out there. We should say as well that Father Plouffe, who we promise you will enjoy listening to over the next few minutes here, is a not infrequent guest of mine on a local show for one of our affiliates in the St. Cloud area, as well as we talk on occasion. And recently we talked about this great idea that you came up with, Father, of protecting Christ during Christmas, inspired by how Joseph had to protect that baby and what we can do in different ways to protect the reputation and the good news and the message of Christ as well.
Absolutely. And it's one of those things that we have to say from the very beginning, that we all know and we all recognize no one's denying the divinity of Christ. You know, Christ, the newborn baby on Christmas Day, truly God, truly human both. He is God Almighty. And in his humanity, however, we see that, as you said, Glenn, Saint Joseph needed to be his protector, not just from the forces of Herod, but from just the practicalities of life. Food needs to be provided, shelter needs to be constructed. And Saint Joseph's great job was to protect Christ not just from hazardous things like Herod and his fury, but also just the daily life thing of, well, someone's got to keep the family warm. Somebody has to provide food for the family. Joseph's job, Saint Joseph's job, was to protect Christ. And for us, too, as we're getting ready to celebrate the Christmas season and a whole new calendar year right on the heels of that, it's really cool for us, the Christians, to be able to say, wait a minute, that's not just St. Joseph's job 2 millennia ago. Our job, too, is to protect Christ by what we say, what we do, and to make sure we're protecting our faith in him by making sure we're not going to do anything that would put our faith, our grace, in jeopardy.
Good things to contemplate and think about here. We've heard the slogan, Jesus is the reason for the season. It's more than a slogan. It is the reality, but kind of protecting that space for our Lord can be a bit of a challenge in the midst of a secular society that wants to make sure we buy not only enough, but more than we and everybody on the list might need. And we almost need to kind of battle for space, like we're boxing out in a basketball game for the rebound. We kind of need to to box out and keep those boxes away from our Lord a little bit as well. What are some practical ways that we can do that?
Well, I love your analogy. I love your analogy here in the heart of basketball season. That's a great way to start. I think one in practical, you know, to finish out that, you know, Jesus is the reason for the season. You know, the best way to keep Christ in Christmas is to keep Mass part of Christmas, you know, and it's one of those things to make sure not only we're going to Mass on Christmas Day, on January 1st, Mary, Mother of God, and all these other holy days, the Sundays especially, but to make sure that this is our number one priority. And as awkward as it can certainly be, and I can attest to this from my own family's experience, even as a priest, when we try to make sure, even at those big, fun family gatherings on Christmas Day, to say, well, we're not eating until we pray. You know, it can be awkward, it can be uncomfortable, but this is what we do. Christians, we pray before we eat. And even to make sure, as we're getting ready at home with our inner family, our close-knit circle of family, like even before we open a present, let's say at least a decade of the rosary, if not the whole rosary itself, make sure prayer is part of everything that we do. And I love how St. Paul puts it. St. Paul says a couple of times in his letters, pray always and without ceasing. If we just start and end everything that we do, every time we change what we're doing, every time we start a new task, if it starts with prayer, that's a great way to get our feet moving in the right direction.
In terms of Mass as well, Father, we know that actually the most effective way to get someone to show up at Mass, even with all the great technological options we have at our disposal here, but is actually that personal invitation. And, you know, if we need to carve out and box out for Christ that spot in the middle of Christmas celebrations to go to Mass, inviting someone to just come along with us. If nothing else, hey, you'll enjoy the music, you know, even if they're not Catholic, to kind of have them realize that, wait, this is as much as important part as, you know, opening the first gift at the first, traditional time, or, getting stuff on the table to eat at the traditional time, but making sure that we take time for Mass.
I love that. And I think that personal invitation, rather than getting upset with somebody for not being at Mass, especially retroactively, like, hey, how come you weren't at Mass earlier today or last weekend or whatever, that personal invitation, and I love that idea, Glenn. I think even at college, I remember so many times where I would just say to friends, like, hey, I'll meet you at your dorm. I'll meet you at your apartment. I'll come pick you up, and we'll go to Mass together. And even for those of us who have made it beyond the college years at this point, that might still be a really viable thing of like, hey, I'll swing by your house and we'll carpool, or maybe we'll drive two cars in procession to the church and we'll go together and maybe even go out for a bite to eat afterwards, or hey, we'll come straight from Mass to my house to celebrate Christmas or just to have a meal. All of these things where you can show other people how important the Holy Faith is to you, by not only making sure you yourself are going to Mass and at prayer, but to show other people how important it is by saying, I'll pick you up, I'll come by your house, let's meet each other there, and we'll celebrate Mass together. That's something really, really fun and special.
Father Jeremy Plouffe is with us from the Diocese of St. Cloud, Minnesota, talking about protecting Christ this morning on Morning Air here on Relevant Radio, and different ways to do that, making sure there's time for Mass is one of those during the midst of all of this. Might another way be not to be overly strident about making sure Christ is part of Christmas, but to allow people to have the Santa Claus fun and make sure that Christ fits in there, and so we can kind of continue that conversation as opposed to, oh, nope, they're over there with how they look at Christmas and everybody else is over here.
Right. You know, and that's where things might get dicey for some people. And it's one of those things, of, I'm sure we've all heard the phrase, you know, you'll catch more with honey than with vinegar. And it's one of those things the idea of Santa Claus, and whether it's in the mall or sometimes people want to bring Santa Claus into the church, you know, it's one of those things of like, well, how do we expand the circle of people who are really open to celebrating Christmas as best that we can? And so one of the things that happens in a lot of parishes, of course, is maybe St. Nicholas will come and we'll have a little teaching about the saint himself. And then maybe expand that into like, okay, well, how can you be like Saint Nicholas and be sure to be generous out of your love of Christ with others? And so I think that's a really good point you make, Glenn. And one of the things, too, is I know that so many friends of mine who now have their own kids, they love to watch with their kids Christmas movies that we ourselves grew up on. And it's one of those things when I get invited to homes and maybe families say, hey, let's watch this Christmas movie that we all loved when we were kids, and hopefully the new generation will learn to love those movies too. That's a great way to get the conversation started. And rather than saying simply, we're not watching any Christmas movies, we're not talking about Santa Claus at all, we're only praying our rosary, we might want to turn that around and say, hey, this Christmas movie that we loved when we were kids, this is a great segue. It's a great conversation opener to say, hey, this whole movie was about Christmas or how that family could celebrate Christmas. Now let's have a conversation ourselves about how can we expand Christmas in our own hearts and in our own household.
Well, Father, this radio stuff is tough work, as you know. You can only imagine with the easy job you have as a priest how hard this is. We've got to take a quick break, and maybe it's to run to the break room for more Christmas cookies or do a little last-minute gift wrapping, but we'll return with more with Father Jeremy Plouffe coming up and a Christmas story all on the way as Morning Air continues as you roll down that last week of Advent here with Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Today's programming sponsored in part by St. Gregory Recovery Center. More information about their Catholic-centered recovery from substance abuse is available at relevantradio.com/stgregory.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas.
Oh, resisting the urge to sing along, probably because I don't sing very well. I'm made to introduce songs as a disc jockey. And there we go. Thanks for joining us this morning. Morning Air continues. It's Glenn in for John. A few more minutes with you this morning. Our story corner coming up in just a little bit, but we're continuing our conversation with Father Jeremy Plouffe from the Diocese of St. Cloud, Minnesota, talking about protecting Christ at Christmas, being inspired by St. Joseph and what we can do to make sure there is room for Christ this time around, too. Thinking, Father, during the break a little bit, it came to me that our jobs now, like St. Joseph had to protect the baby, but our jobs now might be to protect Christ for our children and make sure that they can peek at that manger.
Oh, absolutely. And in so many ways, too. And you hate to get too alarmist about this, but there's so many ways where we have to protect the ability to see Christ as he truly is. I think Pope Emeritus Benedict, when Pope Benedict was still the Holy Father, he published a couple of books where he talked about Jesus of Nazareth as he really is. And Pope Benedict insisted that lots of times when people talk about Jesus, it's almost like they're talking into a mirror where they see in Jesus only what they want to see in themselves. And Pope Benedict wrote a lot about how it's our job, not only for ourselves, but for those people that Christ has put in our lives, to show people Christ as he truly is on the pages of the Bible, on the sacred pages of the gospel. And so I think when we're talking about showing the next generation of kids who Jesus really is, we have to be careful that we're not sort of saying, well, I like this part of the Jesus story, or I like this part of the Bible and not those others, but to make sure that we're protecting the holy faith, protecting our faith in Christ by making sure it's fully authentic and saying, well, you know, maybe this teaching from the Bible is difficult, but it's there, and so I need to help convert my own heart so I can share that faith with other people. And one of those hard realities might, in fact, be that Christ is entirely innocent, as opposed to all of us who suffer from original sin, at least. And so when we recognize that, we can say Christ is our great hero and not just simply a moral teacher that might have some good things to say.
Those magic words, especially in this day and age, being authentic. And that probably includes acknowledging some tough realities or even tough things to understand about spiritual things, especially for those who haven't been exposed maybe a lot to them. But as we might wade into conversation with a mind to protecting Christ during the midst of all of this, but yet share him with others, acknowledging some things are hard to understand, but maybe acknowledging too that, you know, we didn't make up this story. We didn't write scripture, but here's what it says. And our job is to lovingly share that and just want to let you know what the truth is, dear person, that we're trying to convince.
Absolutely. And I think that's that word you used, Glenn, is so key, that authenticity, being authentic. I remember when I was in college, there was this monk who spoke to me that about people who can smell phoniness a mile away. This monk told me, phoniness is something that everyone can recognize no matter how hard you try to hide it. And the important thing is that lots of times people will maybe even attack the idea of being a Christian because they've met Christians, or maybe they even have a family member who is a strong Christian who's made some mistakes as the years roll by, or maybe even has faults of their own. And it's key for us to acknowledge that none of us are the perfect Christian. No one here on earth is the perfect Christian. And that's part of our story, is that we also are in the process of being better Christians. In our trying to protect the holy faith, we have to recognize we need to keep strengthening our Christian muscles and even acknowledging past mistakes. Maybe I used to swear when I was younger a bit more, or maybe I wasn't at Mass the other weekend and because I was being lazy. We need to admit those faults, just as we admit them in the sacrament of confession. We need to be able to admit when somebody calls us out on our shortcomings, yes, I made a mistake, I goofed up, I'm going to try to be a better Christian tomorrow than I was yesterday. That's a huge part of converting ourselves and protecting the faith.
Father, you know, as professional Catholics, right? A priest there, Catholic radio announcer here, is people that are maybe leaders in the church or just trying really hard to be good Catholics. We've got others looking at us. We need to do our best to live good and holy lives and be that good and holy example. But talk about the need to be real in the midst of all of that, and so that people can see that a relationship, a real world relationship with Christ, with all the bumps and ups and downs and setbacks and steps forward, that's all part of the mix. And it doesn't have to be perfection or nothing, because that's going to turn away people. Now, Christ called us to be perfect, and of course, we can only do that through his help and his forgiveness.
Right. I'm glad you started there, Glenn. That's so true, that Christ said, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. So we don't give ourselves an excuse for saying, well, that's good enough, that's fine. The next step, though, is St. Paul and one of his best friends, St. Timothy, where famously, when St. Paul and St. Timothy were founding all of these new parishes across Europe, and especially Eastern Europe, one of the things they encountered is, golly, being a Christian is really, really tough. Trying to be perfect as the Father in heaven is perfect is just a giant mountain to try to climb. And famously, St. Paul's best advice to his great friend St. Timothy was, fight the good fight, finish the race, and keep the faith. And for us now in the 21st century, St. Paul's words, I think, ring all the more true. Where, yes, it's tough to be a Christian in the 21st century. It's really, really difficult to be an authentic, real, converted Christian in the 21st century. And so I think we can all take and keep in the back of our mind those words from St. Paul to Timothy, fight the good fight, finish the race, and keep the faith. That's a real inspiring word to, yes, maybe I'm not the perfect Christian. Yes, maybe this is a tough thing to do right now. Maybe it's awkward and uncomfortable to try to invite family and friends to Mass or to get them to pray before Christmas dinner. But St. Paul encourages us with these really, really inspiring, right, forward-moving words. Fight the good fight. Finish the race and keep the faith. Try as best you can to do better tomorrow than you did yesterday. And we're heading in the right right direction together.
Father, have you finished your Christmas homily yet?
I have indeed. And I'd hate to give away the ending right here on the air. But the heart of the Christmas homily this year, as members of my parishes will know in just a couple of days, the heart of the homily this year is the next step from protecting Christ. Once we know that it's our job to protect Christ by protecting the holy faith and our own practice of it, the next step is to share this news with others. I mean, you think of just as the Christmas season rolls on to celebrate Epiphany, to celebrate the Holy Family, to celebrate Mary, Mother of God, all of these celebrations are other opportunities to share that good word with other people. And whether it's we think of ourselves as the shepherds or the kings or the magi, whatever you want to call them, it's our job now to not just sit on this information. I know Christ was born. I know God came to earth in a little baby. Now that I know that, I'm not just going to sit on it. I'm going to pass it along.
Just a quick 30 seconds left, Father. And as we want to support our priests and those proclaiming the good news, how can we pray for you and your parishes?
Oh, I'm really grateful for that. I'm really, really grateful for that. Make sure you do a holy hour at some point during the Christmas season. Make sure that when you're praying before you go to bed, you say, thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for giving us the priesthood and the sacraments, and pray that all priests will be just as zealous in their ministry as they need to be.
Wonderful, wonderful conversation. Father Jeremy Plouffe joining us this morning. Merry Christmas to you, Father. Thanks for your time and your great service in your parishes and across the country on the radio this morning as well. Coming up right around the corner, we've got Patrick Madrid after a look at news headlines. But first, time for today's Christmas Story Corner. Our story today called Why Christmas is Important. There once was a man who didn't believe in God, and he didn't hesitate to let others know that he felt religion and religious holidays like Christmas were a lot of childish fairy tales. He said that religion was a crutch for people who were too stupid to figure things out for themselves or too fearful to live by their own strength. If God were real, he sure wouldn't do some of the dumb things people said he did. His wife, however, did believe in God and was always quick to say she was born again, she raised their children to also have faith in God, despite his disparaging comments. One snowy Christmas Eve, his wife was taking their children to a Christmas Eve service in that farm community in which they lived. She asked him, as always, to come, but he refused. What a lot of nonsense, he said. Why would God lower himself to come to earth as a man? That's ridiculous. So she and the children left, and he stayed home. While they were gone, the wind and snow grew stronger until it was a blizzard. As the man looked out the window, all he saw was a blinding snowstorm. He sat down to relax before the fire, knowing his wife would not venture back out onto the road till the storm abated, and he knew there were good snow tires on their SUV, so nothing to do except enjoy the peaceful evening. Then he heard a loud thump. Something had hit the window. Then another thump. He looked out but couldn't see more than a few feet. When the snow let up a little, he ventured outside to see what could have been beating on his window. In the field near his house, he saw a flock of wild geese. Apparently, they'd been flying south for the winter when they got caught in the snowstorm and couldn't go on. They were lost and stranded by the storm. They just flapped their wings and flew around the field in low circles, blindly and aimlessly. A couple had flown into his window, it seemed. The man felt sorry for the geese. He wanted to help them. The barn would be a great place for them to stay, he thought. It's warm and safe, and surely they could spend the night and wait out the storm. So he walked over to the barn and opened the doors wide, then watched and waited, hoping they'd notice the open barn and go inside. But the geese just fluttered around aimlessly and didn't seem to notice the barn or realize what it could mean for them. The man tried to get their attention, but that just seemed to scare them, and they moved further away. He went into the house, came back with some bread. He broke it and made a breadcrumb trail leading to the barn, and they still didn't catch on. Now he was getting frustrated. He got behind them and tried to shoo them toward the barn, but they only got more scared and scattered in every direction except toward the barn. Nothing he did could get them into the barn where they'd be warm and safe. "Why don't they follow me?" he exclaimed. "Can't they see this is the only place where they can survive the storm?" Well, he thought for a moment, then realized that they just wouldn't follow a human. "If only I were a goose, then I could lead them," he said out loud. Well, then he had an idea. He went into the barn, got one of his own geese, and carried it in his arms as he circled around behind the flock of wild geese. Then he released it. His goose flew through the flock and straight into the barn. And one by one, the other geese followed it to safety. He stood silently for a moment as the words he'd spoken a few minutes earlier were played in his mind. "If only I were a goose, then I could save them." Then he thought about what he'd said to his wife earlier. Why would God want to be like us? That's ridiculous. But suddenly, it all made sense. That's what God had done. We were like the geese, blind, lost, perishing. God had his son become like us so he could show us the way and save us. That was the meaning of Christmas, he realized. As the winds and blinding snow died down, his soul became quiet and he pondered this wonderful thought. Suddenly he understood what Christmas was all about, why Christ had come. Years of doubt and disbelief vanished like the passing storm. He fell to his knees in the snow and prayed his first prayer, "Thank you, God, for coming in human form to get me out of the storm." Luke 2:11. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. That's our story for today. You can always catch the Story Corner in podcast form on the Relevant Radio app or on the Relevant Radio website at relevantradio.com. You can also access the audio and the texts on our Glenn Story Corner Facebook page. And we always welcome your suggestions. You can mail them, attention to the Story Corner, at morningair@relevantradio.com. morningair@relevantradio.com. Thanks for being along this hour. Great things continue here along the Relevant Radio Network and at relevantradio.com and the Relevant Radio app. The man who's been checking the lists and he's making sure he's got all the answers just right for all your questions. Patrick Madrid on the way after a look at news headlines next here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.